entertainment, inspiration, and building community. This is the soundtrack of Savannah. This is your Savannah Philharmonic. Welcome to the soundtrack of Savannah, brought to you by the Savannah Philharmonic. What an exciting episode, a fun episode this is going to be. I'm very excited to be sitting down with our very own music and artistic director, Keitaro Harada. Kay, welcome back to the podcast. It's been a while since we've had a chance to sit down with each other on the podcast and chat.
Thanks for having me back on the show. It has been a while, but it's been a good reason that it's been a while, because you've had a lot of great guests throughout the season, and I've very much enjoyed listening and learning a lot about my own team and the guest artists that we've had this season.
Yeah, I have had such a great time sitting down with people on the team, and we have really had some really fantastic conversations. You have a lot of exciting things going on too. I mean, how great is it that we can chat virtually while you are currently in Tokyo? I think that's pretty amazing. And you also just recently celebrated a birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you. It's my last year of 30s. So very, very excited about all of this. But, you know, I'm so glad that modern technology is what it is, and I get to, you know, be anywhere and everywhere, and then still be able to participate and still be able to connect with my community in Savannah. So very, yeah, very thankful.
It is awesome to be able to do that. What an exciting time this is, as we just recently were able to see the new 2024-25 season and the schedule come out. And so everybody now has a glimpse as to what's to come for the rest of this year. And it's such an exciting time. I'm curious, as we are, you know, in this moment, have you had a pivotal moment in the past season? And then what are you looking forward to as we get ready for the new schedule coming up?
That's a good question. Have I had a pivotal moment this past season? I feel like every show has been pivotal. And then I mean it in a very positive way, because every time we do a concert, whether it's at the Lucas, whether it's at Forsyth Park, or whether it's in a neighborhood, the energy that I am able to feel from the stage, with the excitement from the community about the Savannah Philharmonic and the activities that we're doing, is so wonderful and very contagious. We're celebrating our 15th anniversary season. You know, the organization's only 15 years old, but the amount of support that we have gained and is growing is really wonderful. Reflecting on this past season, you know, we had a really wonderful start to the season. We had a tremendous amount of people come to Forsyth Park in October. We had this really beautiful Savannah-owned concert program in December, where we talked about the stories of Savannah. I thought the January Beatles program was just a riot, with so many people on their feet dancing and just screaming. The beauty about that program was I was able to sit in the audience during the first 30 minutes of the show, when the band just played on its own, to just feel the energy of what it's like to attend Savannah Philharmonic, which is great. I had the opportunity to do that when Julian Rockland came and played and conducted back in November, where I got to sit in the audience, just hear my own orchestra through the lens of, you know, the Savannah Philharmonic fans and community. So that's been wonderful. We just had recently had a wonderful concert at the cathedral with the Lord Nelson Mass, with our wonderful Paul Thornock conducting. So it's just been, you know, nonstop, really. Very much looking forward to the Verdi Requiem in May, and then also the Rhapsody in Blue, celebrating the 100th year of Rhapsody in Blue in June. And we've got this, you know, wonderful 16th season starting in August.
Yeah. And it really, I mean, the way that it just all comes together, I think that's one of the things that, you know, I hear from a lot of people that attend the concerts. It's just, it's all so fitting and it's all intentional the way that it's put together. And I think the audience appreciates that so much. They feel it. They understand that there is so much thought that goes into, you know, putting these concerts together and when they occur in the year and in the season and the guests that are involved and the musicians and the artists that come from other places. I mean, it's so intentional. You know, I feel like as we're coming towards the end of the 15th season and starting a new one, there's no like dip down in the mood and the energy. I don't know. You know, it's like it just keeps going up. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Well, you're in the audience feeling all of this. You know, what's your take on each concert? And then does after every performance, what is the feeling that you get? Do you get excited to see what's in store for the next one? Or do you feel like overwhelmed with what just had happened?
That I love that you asked that, because I certainly feel a moment of overwhelm of like, wow, that was the best. I hear this all the time. That was the best one I've been to. And I've heard it at every concert. Oh my gosh, that's the best one I've been to. And I love that. I love that reaction. And yet people are looking at their programs and talking to each other and they're like, what's coming up next? Are you going to be at the next one? So it's both, you know, it's both things that end up happening, which I think is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. I've started to be in the lobby before the show starts to greet almost everyone that walks into Lucas Theater for the concert. I'm also there during intermission, but even if it's a 30-second hello, even if it's a 10-second, you know, greeting, it's just nice to be able to hear directly from our patron, from their own words, you know, how they feel about how the season's been going. And it just gives me a lot of warmth and, you know, courage to keep going in the direction that we're taking this organization in.
Yeah. And you mentioned the recent concert at the Cathedral, and Paul and everyone did such a fantastic job. And, you know, even changing, you know, to a different venue and not being at the Lucas and, you know, all of that sort of thing. The energy and the mood all was just so wonderful. And then it was great to have Jessica French, you know, in the audience and people to be able to go and meet her at intermission. She was like flooded with a line of people that, you know, people were like, oh my gosh, you're here. We just heard three of your pieces. I mean, that was pretty powerful. And I think that's to speaks to what you're talking about, you know, for the community had to have that connection with everybody that's involved with the Philharmonic. That feels so special. And I can see that on everyone's face, that connection to be able to meet someone, meet a composer, to walk up and be able to talk to the conductor, to be able to, you know, go talk to one of the musicians during intermission. That feels so special. I can see it, you know, all over their faces.
I think it's very Savannah. Like when, you know, you go to a concert that is, yeah, maybe in a much bigger city like New York or like Los Angeles, Chicago, Boston, there's just no way for an audience member to be close and be able to communicate with the musicians that are on stage or guest artists on stage, guest composer, guest conductor. But in Savannah, it's different. I think that wall doesn't exist. And it's a healthy, invisible wall. Where people are able to reach out before the concert. People are able to reach out and say hello to their friends on stage during break. And, you know, I feel that majority of the orchestra and many of the audience members are at the local bars right after the concert at their, you know, favorite spot. And continuing the conversation that was prior musically during the concert, but then, you know, reflecting on while they, you know, share a drink together.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I see so many people and, you know, we're all pulling out our programs if we see each other in a bar afterwards. Hey, we were there too. Mm-hmm. It's like a really cool thing. And it is fun to continue the conversation as we approach, you know, we already have the schedule for the new season and, you know, starting in August with Romantic Rachmaninoff. And then we've got Mozart and Beethoven's Ninth. And it's just a beautiful lineup. You already have this mapped out. How does that work? You know, taking people from one season to another, and it looks like it's just already so well orchestrated, for lack of a better word. It's already so well done. I mean, what's the process look like? A lot of our listeners love kind of learning that behind the scenes process of planning all of that out.
Sure. When I first came to Savannah Philharmonic, one of the first things I did was surveying all of what has been done in the past. So all the pieces that have been performed, I put it on sort of like a spreadsheet. So I know exactly what kind of composers have been performed a lot or not enough in Savannah and to our audience. And then I put it in groups. I also did a survey for the orchestra too, where they were asked what pieces they want to perform and what pieces they don't ever want to perform in Savannah. So it's just good to forecast and see what the temperature is like for Savannah Philharmonic. And what I do is, you know, the process of creating a season is first the dates. We have a wonderful partnership with the Lucas Theater for the Arts of SCAD, and then we get the dates in advance ahead of time, several, a year and a half to 2 years ahead of time, so we know exactly what dates are available to us, which allows us to book our guest artists in a, you know, orderly manner. What I want to make sure is that there's a balance. So if 1 year we have a high profile pianist like Stephen Huff, the following year we have, you know, Rachlin, who's a high profile violinist. And then this 16th season, we have a high profile violinist, pianist like David Frey. But then a mix of guest artists that are like woodwind quintet, different kind of guest conductors that has never been here, and then just a balance of like older guest artists to, you know, very, very young guest artists. So there's a lot involved, and then balancing out the repertoire and just seeing what composers from which countries are represented, what era. So it's, everything's not too much from one particular category of music history, but there are music that are from the past, the greats from the past, to also really, really new ones, to a commission that we also have this coming season. So I like to put myself in the shoes of the subscriber of the Savannah Philharmonic, where when they subscribe to the Philharmonic, they're committed to X amount of concerts. In our case, we have 8 subscription concerts that they're committed to. And then in the 8 touch points that we have, what kind of journey are they able to experience? That's what I'm mostly interested in.
I love that. It sounds like an equation, but a really fun equation, like a math problem. It sounds like you guys have a lot of fun in the planning process.
I think a lot of it has to deal with, you know, I'd like to compare going to a concert to having a 4-course dinner at a nice restaurant. Or it could be 5 courses or pairing with wine. But you have to think about, you know, do you want the appetizer that follows the salad, or is it the salad that follows the appetizer and then the main course? If it's like very saucy, then do you want a dessert that is a little bit more light? Or, you know, it's just, there's a flow with everything, right? And it all starts from the moment that one parks at the restaurant, and then the experience from the parking lot to the walk to the restaurant, how you're greeted, to how the water is served, to the very last transaction that you have with the restaurant. And, you know, what if you got your dessert first and then had a steak, and then there was a salad and cheese, and then all of a sudden there was like an appetizer to finish out the evening? It just doesn't flow well, right?
Right.
Even though all those pieces have been fantastic and very, very tasty, it just doesn't work. So I like to think of attending a concert that way, so that each piece has a segue into the next, that one doesn't overpower the other, or one always complements the next one in order for the entire evening's adventure satisfies your stomach in a, you know, comfortable way.
Absolutely. And it is experience. I totally agree. Like, every piece of it is a part of the experience. And then you've got the overall, and it really is a journey. Every single concert, it's a little different, and it all complements each other. And you're talking about the season, not only the one that we're in, but the 16th season. And the way you look at that, you also look at, you know, the guests and who is coming, and then the important piece too is that there's local guests as well as people that are not local. Could you talk a little bit about that local piece? We, you know, this 15th season, we've seen so many talented people mm-hmm. from the area that are mm-hmm. just like blowing us away. I mean, the mm-hmm. audience is like, whoa, I didn't even know they were here. Or I've heard about them before, and now I get to see them on this stage with the Philharmonic. Pretty powerful stuff to have all of these local artists coming through.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I make sure that we achieve at Savannah Philharmonic is to provide experiences that only Savannah Philharmonic can do in Savannah. So when you dissect that phrase, it really keys into the fact that, you know, how can we feature more of the Savanians, the musicians of Savannah that are the heartbeat of this community. We have, in a concert this coming September, Eric Jones, who is a musician in the community, who also performed back in December for the Holiday Stories. He is doing a world premiere commission, so we have asked him to write a piece specifically for Savannah Philharmonic, of a theme and idea and concept to be determined. But he's very ingrained into this community. He knows this community well. He knows this orchestra very well. So then the pieces that we performed of his back in December really grabbed my, you know, musical instinct. So I wanted to give him an opportunity to write specifically a piece for Savannah Philharmonic in a subscription. So that's happening. In what's been announced yet and hasn't been very to the public yet, is in the Beethoven Ninth, there are four soloists. There's a soprano, a mezzo, and tenor, and a baritone soloist. And all of these four soloists has some meaningful relationship with Savannah. Mm. I can't share that to you quite yet, but they do. And so once the soloists are announced, you'll see through their biography, but through, you know, and then we'll be sharing through marketing also how each person has some kind of association to the state of Georgia, some kind of relationship to the city of Savannah. So that's very exciting that we're able to do that. And these are all very world-class soloists, but it's been fun to put the pieces of the puzzles together to make this quartet happen. And then we have the January 2026 concert, which is featuring the Benedetto guitar. So when you think of the best pianos in the world, you have the Steinway. When you think of the best violins and string instruments in the world, you have the Stradivarius and the Guarneri. When you think about the best guitars in the world is the Benedetto. And the Benedetto guitar resides in Savannah. They're manufactured in Savannah. I've been to the factory of Benedetto guitar. I would never know from the outside that it was a guitar factory, because they have absolutely no signs on the outside. It's literally like, I don't know, like I don't know how to even describe it, but it's this building. And then when you walk in, it's like musical heaven, because they create this absolutely world-class guitar. And the process of making this Benedetto guitar is just like a violin, just like any of the string instruments, very, very similar. And so what we're doing in that particular concert is exploring the history of the Benedetto guitar, and Howard Paul is the CEO or president, the top of the Benedetto guitar. He's also a well-known world-class artist, and he's going to show us the different sounds and the evolution of the Benedetto guitar through music. What I also like to do throughout the season is have some kind of a feature of our own musicians in the Savannah Philharmonic. And then in March, we're doing exactly that with featuring our principal flute, Gina Melali, who has curated a Baroque program of Bach and Telemann. And she's very much a Baroque artist. She loves playing the works of the 1700 works by Telemann and Bach. And so she recorders, and so this is very much her, world. And we're excited to be able to, feature her. And then another key part about Savannah Philharmonic is the fact that we have a Philharmonic chorus, which is almost about 80 plus singers. And they're featured throughout the season, and there are, literally the voice of the Savannah community. So very excited to be able to share the stage with them again throughout the season.
I feel like every time I see the chorus perform, I spot someone else that I know.
I'm like, oh, really?
Oh my gosh, I didn't know you were in the chorus.
That's good.
It's awesome. And you're right. It's so representative of it. Mm-hmm. Is truly the voice, voices of Savannah, and so many people that you just don't even realize are in the chorus. And mm-hmm. what a great opportunity. I know there's a chorus workshop coming up later this year.
Yes.
That the public can be a part of. And that sounds mm-hmm. really amazing. And if you want to kind of get involved in that, we'll have all the information on that in this episode and the show notes. Something that struck me at one of the last concerts, I can't remember which one it was now, but mm-hmm. You were talking, and I think it was at the beginning of the concert. And you were talking about the importance of the relationship between the community and the Philharmonic and the support that the community gives. And it was so powerful in the way that you were talking about the different ways that folks can support. And we've highlighted some of that on this podcast in talking about the education programs and so many things that go on and how people can support that. One of the things that really struck us in our family after you were talking about that night was we wanted to host a musician in our house, and we just hosted our first musician over this past weekend. We had a wonderful violinist here at our house and had such a great time getting to know her and really just knowing that we were helping that night happen, and I think a lot of people who want to do something like that and host a musician, they feel the same way. It's like, I'm a part of the night. Woo. Mm-hmm. you feel like you're a part of the team when you put that kind of support forth.
Mm-hmm. It's the organization's 15 years. And when this organization started, the operating budget was less than 20,000 dollars, and by year six, it was about $1 million budget orchestra. The Savannah Philharmonic today, we present 8 subscription concert series at the Lucas Theater, and you know, an education concert for 4,000 fifth graders from 35 different schools. We provide 70 high quality instruments for students at no charge, and then we do maintenance for all of the instruments because we believe that in order to thrive in music, you have to have great instruments. 35 students receive weekly violin instructions. We have YouTube videos that are created by the musicians on stage, which has over 30,000 views on instructions of how to play different excerpts for their audition for Allstate. We partner with YMCA and Bethesda Academy. Over 1,000 students at 10 schools receive appearances from world-class guest artists that visit Savannah Philharmonic. And, you know, the Fill the Park brings 25,000 people to Forsyth Park. All of this we do, and there's more, but all of this we do free for the community, right? And it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. But we have a very small team at Savannah Philharmonic. You're aware of, you know all of them, and I think in that, when I talked to the orchestra audience that day, I mentioned that I'm actually the oldest employee of the Savannah Philharmonic.
Yes.
Because after my arrival, I wanted a completely new team. We have a new executive director, director of artistic operations, director of external relations, marketing and donor service manager, education manager, artistic manager, chorus master and librarian that were all hired after my arrival. And all of us are fully invested in bringing the best experience possible to our community. The organization's about $2 million budget now. And our musicians on stage received their first ever raise with a commitment for an annual percentage raise moving forward. Which has never happened in this organization.
Yeah,
so
that's amazing.
Yeah, but what I wanted the audience to realize is that when you step aside, Savannah Philharmonic looks like we're doing good because, you know, we're always sold out. There's always a waiting list, and it is a sign of success. We are very much doing well, but. But also, I wanted to share that the reality, which is that, you know, Lucas Theater seats just under 1,200 seats. And then we have very affordable ticket pricing, which is $25 to about $70. And students are at $8. So even if we sold out every single concert of our subscription series, of all 8, it only covers less than 30% of our operating budget. So, which is not much, right? And then to be like very transparent to how much things cost, like Fill the Park costs us about $200,000 to produce. So, you know, I want the community to realize, you know, it takes a lot of effort and money really to produce great art. The potential for Savannah Philharmonic is limitless. And then the visions that I have and then the visions that we have as an organization is to really raise the status of the Philharmonic so that it's an orchestra that the community can be very much proud of. You know, this city deserves a top-rate orchestra. And then I want people to invest in us, you know, because there's such high potential for us to be far greater than we are now. And, you know, it takes support.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I loved that transparency and the way that you put that. And I think that it moved a lot of people. And The community has continuously stepped up. And I think a lot of community businesses and partnerships mm-hmm. and collaborations, I see people all the time looking for, you know, the next opportunity to be able to say, I want to be a part of it. I do want to mm-hmm. invest because the return on investment is actually pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about it, what we get back as a community, what you get back as a business, you know, when you support, you know, on whatever level that is, there's so many right. levels to be able to support, you know, think about, you know, being able to support just the kids having access to an instrument, right. just that mm-hmm. alone, I mean, is amazing. And our community yeah, totally. Needs that.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And, you know, playing an instrument is such a great opportunity. And a lot of families may not be able to afford the high quality instruments, but like we provide them for free. We have an instrument library dedicated to providing instruments for free. So the opportunities are there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking forward to the rest of this season. I can't wait to see a lot of people already talking about Fill the Park. They're like, what are we going to do for Fill the Park? You know, and it, I feel
I'm
like
worried if we're going to fit.
Yeah, right. I was going to say it gets bigger all the time.
Right.
Well, I mean,
we shall see.
Phil, yeah, we're going to have to see. We're going to overflow the park, I think is what we're right. going to call it now. That's. I have to say thank you for, I believe you were instrumental at the Beatles concert to be the one who started the phones being lit up.
Yes. that would be me.
That was one of the greatest moments. And I have to say one of the most photographed and videoed moments of the night mm-hmm. that I saw mm-hmm. later on social media. It was pretty powerful. So
there is a backstory of all of that though.
Oh, good.
Is that I did that also at Fill the Park back in last October, and can't remember exactly what the moment was, but several months before the Fill the Park concert, Amy was like, you got to do the whole light thing, you know, like get everyone on their cell phone light and like, you know, wave on a nice ballad. And I'm like, okay. And so I had this sticky note on my score that said Amy cell phone light ballad. And then I had like kept reminding myself about it because or else I was going to forget. I didn't want to like let her down. Right. And so I did that once at Fill the Park, and it was, you know, a very beautiful moment. I tried to like find her because I needed to make sure that she was taking a video of it. Right. She was taking a video of this because I'm specifically doing this to her from her request. Right. And so like now that I've done it once, it's so ingrained in me. Yes. So at the Beatles concert, I was like trying to find the right moment. And so I did it again, and I tried to find Amy in the audience. I'm like, and I saw her, and she was like so happy that I did that.
I saw her too. I loved it because I spotted her. She was like up at the Lucas Theater, and I looked up right at that moment, and I thought she was beaming ear to ear. So you nailed it. You nailed the moment. Yep.
So I got to think of all of these cell phone moments throughout the season. So
no pressure.
Can't let the boss down.
Right. And it's got to be the right moment. So
exactly.
You can't do it at the wrong moment. It was absolutely amazing. Cool. And we were talking about holiday stories that happened in December, which is like up for like the best local concert. Like it connects.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that's amazing. I mean, that the community is like, yep, that was the one. That was pivotal moments. I mean, that was so local, so powerful. And I mean, the storytelling, the involvement with Dr. Bertice Berry, I mean, all of that was just really, really beautiful. I have a feeling it's going to win that Connect Savannah.
Yes, for all the listeners, please vote because we need your vote. We can't vote more than once. So
that's right.
So every vote matters.
Exactly. Well, Kay, thank you for sitting down. This is going to be such a wonderful just end of the 15th season, and there's so much still to come. And you know, it's, people can still get tickets, you know, as of now for the things. They do go fast. But yes, subscription tickets are, you know, we talk about this, that's the way to go if you can do it, so you can secure your seat, because you know, when you want to go and there's no tickets, that can be difficult. And we hear that everybody has to stop texting you guys about tickets, because we all
know.
Do it.
I love that, you know, Savannah is such a very close knit community and everyone has everyone's numbers, and it's great. But like, seriously, stop texting me for tickets.
You're like, I got no more tickets. I'm not hiding them. I
just buy it. Hurt. Like there's plenty of opportunity to buy it ahead of time. Stop waiting.
I think we're all proud that we have everybody's number too, because you know, so it's in that conversation where it's like, oh, let me text my friend Kay. He can do it. Yeah. So
until he can't.
Until he can't.
And then this number is useless.
Oh, wait, Kay said to call Amy. Oh, Amy. Right, said exactly. Okay. So never mind.
Yes, there is a lot of that. For sure.
It's a lot of fun, though. And yes, get your tickets. Sooner the better. So, Kay, we're looking forward to having you back soon. And I know that we're just so happy to have you here in Savannah. We love it. We love everything you bring to the table at every concert, how much thought goes into all of it, how much heart goes into all of it. And we just can't thank you enough for being here in our community.
Thank you.
Welcome to your open invitation to enjoy music with your friends and neighbors. This is the Soundtrack of Savannah. You can also show support by sponsoring a season concert or our Fill the Neighborhood series or annual Fill the Park event in Forsyth Park. You can even sponsor one of our talented musicians or host them in your home during the season. Planned giving from individual community partners to corporate sponsorships creates opportunities for the Savannah Philharmonic to grow and also allows you to leave a legacy, ensuring the organization continues to entertain, inspire, and build community for generations to come. For more information on sponsorship levels and a full list of concerts and community events, please visit us at savannahphilharmonic.org. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and be sure to subscribe to the Sav Phil podcast you're listening to right now, so you can be in the know, behind the scenes, and center stage at your Savannah Philharmonic.